Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. So I'm starting a new series today called Pick Your Poison, but here's the thing. I can't get into the thrust of my message if you don't have a foundational understanding. There's some things that I can talk about, but if you don't understand what I'm talking about, or you don't have the foundation to build the house on, it's just gonna crash. So I am a no-show sock wear guy. I wear no-shows. If you are a person who wears no-show socks, meaning if you don't even know what I'm talking about, if you're older or whatever, they're socks that stay below your shoe line, right? So you're wearing socks, but you don't look like you're wearing socks. Don't ask. It's a thing. But if you've ever worn these kind of socks, there's an experience that you can have wearing them that will forever alter your life. And that's when that sock slips off the back of your heel. And I don't even know how this happened. The whole sock somehow ends up just around your toes. And nobody can see the uncomfortableness that's going on inside of your life, but nonetheless, it's there. True. Look, y'all gonna have to talk a whole lot. It's warmer this service than it was last service. So you need to talk to me, okay? Because if not, I'm gonna pause and be like, now talk to me. Because I need people that are alive, not dead. If I'm doing a funeral, I need a suit on, and we need to sing some slow songs. But if I'm in a church that's alive, hospitals always have noise in them. They have activity even when you're trying to sleep. Oh, you can't rest. Anybody ever come home from the hospital, or you knew somebody that did, and you go, you can't get any rest in a hospital. There's always some movement going on. Somebody's always messing with you. Let me tell you something. A church should be a place where the Holy Spirit's always messing with you. And if you want to come in and try to sleep through a service, the Holy Spirit won't even let you. And you know what? Sometimes your amen may be what keeps your neighbor awake. And if your neighbor does go to sleep, here's what you do, man. This is totally spiritual. It's not in the Bible, but it's spiritual. You let it get real quiet. Like in one of my dramatic pauses. And in that moment, you snuggle up next to your sleeping neighbor. Amen! Just real loud. I'm not sure that it'll be biblical, but I will enjoy it so much. And if you're watching online, nobody's sleeping. I'm just trying to get people a little awake. So if you've ever had this experience where that sock slips off your foot, what happens is oftentimes there can be something going on inside of you that's not visible to the people around you. And I can come in and I can teach a great series called Pick Your Poison. And because here's what I believe. I believe that in many ways the devil's not poisonous. I believe in a lot of ways we're poisoning ourselves. I believe that in a lot of ways the devil doesn't have to do it. We'll do it on our own. But here's the thing, if I just come in and I teach that, then you're going to think that anything that goes on is 100% correlated to your behavior. That in other words, if you work hard enough, you can be good with God, but if you don't quite work hard enough, you're not good with God. Anybody ever felt like that? That like God's love and devotion and commitment to you is based 100% on what kind of kid you are? You ever notice that when you have a kid and you're raising a kid up, and especially your own, and you take them out and they're kind of showing themselves a little bit, and they're being bad. Here's what you say. You make a statement like this: they're acting up. Why are you acting so poorly? I don't know what's got into them. They know better than to act like this. Because here's the reality, that a lot of times that's not who your kid is. Has your kid always been everything they've acted like? You ever looked at your kid and go, now look, you're acting like a brat. I don't know what's got into you, but you acting like one of them smart mouth kids. Not in my house. Here's the thing, I believe that the Lord's called us to be something. But in all those moments with your kid, have you ever said, well, this can't be my kid? No, because regardless of how your kid acts, that's still bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. So here's the thing. Could it be that the tension in the room today is going to be built around this, that it's not always what you act like that matters. It's whose you are. And that if there are things in our life that are poisonous, we really need to understand poison. So here's what I did. I went back to what I believe is probably one of the best definitions. It's from the Oxford Dictionary. It's where I don't think I'm all intellectual on you. I just like the way it defined it the best. Is that fair? So when I looked it up, it said poison is defined from the Oxford Languages this way. As a noun, it means this: a substance that's capable of causing illness or death to a living organism when introduced or absorbed. Could it be that when you introduce and you absorb the wrong way to think about you, that automatically you'll be poisoned before you take anything else into your life? That if you absorb or introduce the wrong thinking and the wrong way of seeing yourself when you look in the mirror, that you've already poisoned yourself before your day ever gets going? Matter of fact, if you go to the chemistry definition, I love this. It says, a substance that reduces the activity of a catalyst. So what happens if you put these things together? What happens if you say this, that if you take a living organism, which we are, and you introduce or absorb the wrong way of thinking, that you actually will destroy somebody who was meant to be a catalyst? Let's take it a step further. I believe this. I believe that God sent you here to be a catalyst. I'm going to wait on you to say amen. I'm not even going to say anything else. Y'all act like I'm playing. I don't care if I'm broadcasting live. I will go back in the drum cage and I will sit down. Because if you're going to sit down on this message, I will. Thank you, Mr. Bellamy. Take my own dad to amen me. What happens if you introduce the wrong thinking to something that was meant to be a catalyst? And what if that thing is you? What if God really sent you here to change things? What if God really sent you here to be a light? What if God really sent you here to be hope? What if God really sent you here to change the world, to change your house, to change your family, to change the next generation of people that you're going to give birth to? What if God really sent you here to make a difference? What if you are the catalyst for all the change you've ever prayed for, all the change that your grandparents have ever prayed for? I've heard inside the church people pray for revival for a long time. What if in these last days you are the catalyst for that revival? And that this basic like sock around the toe, this thing that only happens inside of you, what happens if you wire it wrong from the beginning? Here's what the Word says. The Word says in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. I didn't mean to get all serious on y'all that quick. This is the second time I've done this. I'm excited because change can happen off this message. Because here's the thing, have you ever seen something that has been poisoned? Have you ever watched somebody that's reacted to a drug? They were prescribed a drug and they started having a reaction, and then you took them to the doctor or maybe they were in the hospital and they pushed the antidote, and what happens is almost immediately you can begin to see the transformation and the change from the poison to the freedom start happening. See, that's what I've already seen in the first service. I've seen people have that aha moment where they quit taking the poison of the lie that they get up and they take every morning. And now they're experiencing the freedom and the life that comes with going, you know what, this is what God says about me. Because here's the problem. Most of us poison ourselves by not understanding what God really thinks about us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the prince, that the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That was once you. If you've accepted Christ, once you were that kind of person. You were dead and you were a trespasser. A trespasser means this, that you were walking in something that you were never intended to walk on. You were never created to walk in sin. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we're all trespassers. We're all sinners. But now, and I'm going to be honest with you, if you have not accepted Christ, here's what I'm going to say. That at the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Christ. So if you look and you go, man, I'm still a sinner, we're going to fix that. But for a moment, I'm talking to everybody who has accepted Christ or is planning right now on accepting him before the service is over. He said this. He said, "And among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind." Here's the thing. Have you ever noticed that we beat ourselves up over our past all the time? The scripture looks at you and goes, "You know why you acted like that? It's what you were. Why are you flipping out that a dog is a dog? Don't flip out because when you were a sinner, you acted like a sinner. Man, if I could go back and change it, I sure would." Yeah, you would. But you can't. So why are you spending all this time playing an old movie? I never will forget when COVID did hit. My dad's an avid sports guy, and I called him one day, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Watching National Football Championship." "Dad, they haven't played football in 7 months. He's like, "I know, it's from 93. I can't do that because I'm a Googler. The first thing before I emotionally invested in one team or the other, you know what I'm doing? I'm Googling to find out who wins. And then 2 minutes after I've Googled to find out who wins, I'm done watching because I feel like right? It's like a Hallmark movie. You don't watch a Hallmark movie not to know the end of the story, right? You're like, they're going to kiss in the snow. It's going to happen, right? Doesn't matter if it's spring, doesn't matter. They're going to kiss. So here's the thing. Why do you sit and you get surprised that the story of your sinful life looks exactly like it was supposed to? Because before Jesus, that's who you were. Verse 5. Well, let me go back to verse 4. But God, that's the moment everything changes. But for all of us that accepted Christ, being rich in mercy, I need to pause. So we went and visited some friends of ours, and man, they were great hosts. And one of the things that they did was they when we went into our room, they left my wife some chocolate in her room. But before we went down there, they called her. The husband called her, or called me, and I just handed the phone to her so he could ask us questions, because I'm not going to guess at stuff for my wife anymore. I've been married 25 years this year. I quit doing that. And so he said, "Hey, does your wife?" And I said, "Well, just let me talk to her. Just talk to her." And put him on speaker, and he goes, "Hey, Tracy, let me ask you a question. I got these kinds of chocolate. Do you like chocolate?" And I loved her answer. Her answer was priceless. She said, "Am I a woman?" So they left a couple of different kinds of chocolates. Well, when she went up and she broke one of them, she tried it. And have you ever made this statement about chocolate? Have you ever said, "Whoo, that's rich"? Now, what you really mean by that is that has so much flavor, that has so much stuff on it that I can't eat too much. I got to take it one bite at a time, because if I tried to eat it like you do, like American chocolate, like just like a Hershey bar, you need to eat a Hershey bar all in one bite. You can just shove the whole thing in your mouth, right? I mean, it's okay. But if you like go to Belgium chocolates that are like really, really dense and have all these layers of, you can't eat all that because you'll just waste it because you won't experience it all. Now watch what it says. But God, being rich in mercy. What's mercy? Now, what we want to think about is we want to put mercy and what in the same category? Mercy and grace are not the same thing. Mercy says this. Mercy said, grace is the unwarranted favor of God. God said, I've got such a rich favor towards you that you can't eat all that in one bite. But I'm not even going to talk about that right now. I am so rich in mercy. What does that mean? That means this, that you're doing 90 on the interstate and you get pulled over by the cop and you got the shakes and he asks for your insurance card, and rather than giving him your automobile insurance, you give him Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I'm talking, you are nervous. And now that cop looks at you and says, "Look, here's what I'm going to do. I just want to write you a warning." That's mercy. You should have gotten a ticket. Depending on the speed, you should have gotten handcuffs. But you didn't. God said this. He said, the wages of sin are death. but the gift, the mercy of God for those who accept Christ is freedom. It's a pardon. But God said this. He said, you've got to get up every day because my mercy is so rich. You've got to get up and eat it one bite at a time. See, some of us beat ourselves up every day over every mistake. Now, I'm not talking about a freedom to sin, but what I'm talking about is a freedom from sin. Watch this. This is so deep. Being rich in mercy because of His great love. Can you imagine somebody loving you so much that they're willing to overlook your faults? I never will forget when I got married, I thought that my wife was flawless. But then I got married. It's okay, she did too. She got married too. And I learned that real love is not somebody who's perfect, but it's somebody who's perfect for you. It's not somebody who's faultless or flawless, but it's somebody whose faults you can help overcome. So what if you wrapped your mind around the fact that the poison that's going on in your life sometimes is the way that you think God thinks about you? What if instead of getting up every day with this try not to screw up or drink poison mentality, right? What if we got up every day and said, you know what, God richly loves me. What if we went to the mirror every morning and we looked in the mirror and we said, you know what, God loves me. God loved me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me while I was still a sinner. So what sins did Christ die for you? All your past sins? Yeah. What about all your present sin? Okay, I'm struggling with that, but okay. What about all your future sin? What if you said this? What if you came to the realization that maybe some of your behaviors are not who you really are? Some of the poisons in your life are not who you really are? You're just acting like they are. Like you know better. You even feel condemnation when you do it. And I don't mean like condemnation from the devil. Do you know that there's a difference between condemnation and conviction? See, condemnation is when you beat yourself up. Conviction is when it's a catalyst for change. For a catalyst for change. Ponder that just for a minute. Could it be that you're not really the horrible person you think you are, but there's just so much God in you that when you have these negative behaviors and these negative things that you're just uncomfortable with it because the action is more like an act. You're actually partaking in something that's not who you really are. And that if we would take a step back and just become who God really created us to be all the time, that there would be a freedom. Imagine getting up every morning and looking in the mirror and going, God loves you. And God's rich in mercy towards you. And God's right. Because here's what we do. We can either build a mentality of trying not to sin, or we can live up to an expectation that God already has for us. Have you ever had people think you're smarter than what you are? I mean like legitimately. Like have you ever taken a job and all of a sudden something goes wrong and everybody looks at you and goes, hey, what are we going to do? In the back of your mind, you're thinking, I don't have a clue. But because everybody has that expectation, you rise up and begin to act like you know what's going on. You begin to rise up to the expectation that's on your life. Now, I know this being a husband, and I'm sure it's the same for mom. Have you ever had somebody in your family, if you're a mom, it's your kids. If you're a husband, generally it's your wife that comes to you and goes, hey, what are we going to do? Inevitably, here's what I say. I look at him and go, don't worry about it. I got a plan that I will be making up as I go along. But what happens is in all of those circumstances, I rise up to the level of expectation that is on my life. I'm not trying not to screw up. I'm trying to meet the need and the expectation that the people around me have. What if you decided that you were going to live for God with the expectation, the belief that He has in you? See, we don't have a problem saying, I believe in God. But have you ever stopped that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life? For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through his son, the world might be saved. Then he took the message of that truth, and of all people, he trusted you with it. So would it change your life if I said, not only do you believe in God, but God believes in you. And God believes what you can do for him every day. Now that's an expectation that I had never really wrapped my mind around. That every morning when I get up, God somehow thinks I can pull something miraculous off. Now, we all know that it's through him, right? Like, it's not no power of my own. But that God will give me the strength and the power to do something ridiculous today. That not only do I believe in God, but through some crazy God moment, he believes that I can do something. And that if he believes that, maybe it's not about not sinning. Maybe it's about rising to the expectation that God has for my life. And maybe that when I choose not to drink the poison, it's not because it's not natural. It's just not who I am. Let's continue. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5. He said, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. God said this. He said, it's by the grace of God. Because I died for you while you were still trespassing. While you were still hanging out in places that you didn't need to be. And then watch this, verse 6. He raised us up and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. What? Do you feel like you get up every morning and sit in heavenly places with Christ? Because I feel like I get up every morning and just try not to blow it. Maybe the poison is in the first part of the poison, the setup for this whole series has to be in this message that you can't get to the right place with the wrong thinking. You have to get up every day and go, you know what? I believe in Christ, but Christ believes in me. He's created me to be this. He created me, and all this other stuff I've been doing is just an act. It's not really who I am. Because I love John Wick movies. Now, they're not spiritual, but a lot of people die. John Wick's just a bad dude in that movie. Now, here's the thing. I have seen Keanu Reeves, which is a pretty cool dude from what I know of him. Don't know, you know, we hadn't had lunch or anything, but just the, right. But here's the thing. I've watched some of his training for that, and John Wick, Keanu Reeves training for that character is a pretty bad dude, but he ain't John Wick. He's just acting like it. Matter of fact, if you meet him, from what I've seen of him, if you watch the interviews, he's actually one of the most passive, nicest people you've ever met. There are actually videos of him hanging out with homeless people and giving up seats on the subway for other people. He's not running around shooting because he was just playing a part. Now, it was a good part, but I've seen good people play bad roles. Could it be that a lot of the poison you've been walking in is just an act that you've been playing? It's not really who you are. And the reason you've never been able to really feel like your life has freedom is because you've been playing two parts at the same time. You've been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. Verse 7. That in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved, and it's not of your own doing, it's the gift of God. Not of works so that anybody can boast, for we're his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Do you get this? That God's like, look, it's all about me anyway. I just need you to act like what I think you are. I prepared you to do good work. I made you for this. Stop trying to do what you weren't made for. Have you ever wondered why there's so much tension in our life? Because we're trying to be what we're not made for and what we are made for all in the same sentence. God said this, if you'll just stop acting like what you're not and start be what you are. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to go places. And before I would go there, I would try to figure out if I was going to be the tough guy or the funny guy or the nice guy or the right. Because it was always a role. Women do it too. Stop. You know, if you're around your ugly friends, you don't have to wear as much makeup. You don't have to dress as nice, because you can take a six and put her with two threes and she becomes a nine. Some man get in agreement with me. You ever notice that really pretty people have two or three ugly friends? It makes them look better. If you're hanging out with really pretty people, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. Wow, now I need to go to Romans verse 8, 1 through 11. I'm going to have to hurry. Romans verse 8, 1 through 11 says, now there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Never confuse condemnation with conviction. Scripture is going to teach us in just a minute that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The reason you can't keep one foot in sin and one foot in heaven is because the Holy Spirit, your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you try to induce the poison of this world into the God life that He put inside of you, it's automatically going to create conflict. But here's what the enemy does. The enemy will take that conflict and turn it into condemnation, where we condemn ourselves. We begin to tell God everything that we can't do and what He can't do through us because of mistakes we've made. And what God said at this is, anybody have an older grandparent or parent, and they bring you, they're like, hey, I got you a movie, and they bring you like a VHS tape. I was talking to my relative one time, and I said, man, I'd love to see this movie. And they said, oh, I got it on VHS tape. And I was like, how do you get a VHS tape into a Roku? You can't play that old tape on this new system. Why are you trying to play the old tape of your life on a new system made in Christ? You can't play the old script in the new play. You have to be what you were created to be. You have to play the tape that God created you to play. And that's the script of being sons and daughters in Christ. There's no condemnation anymore in Christ. Get over what you did in your past, and let's begin to work for what God wants to do in your future. It said, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Man, when you accepted Jesus, you're no longer under the law of sin and death. He goes on and says this, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of a sin, not a sinful man, but in the likeness of a sinful flesh for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled in us who could not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit must set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I love this. Verse 6, it said, to set the mind on the flesh is the flesh. And before that, He said this. He said, but you are made for the Spirit. See, the Spirit of God is inside of you. And in order for you to live a life of peace and joy and that kind of thing, you've got to figure out that you're going to have to play the script you were created for. I'm bringing you to close, I promise. Ephesians 1:4 says this. I love it. Even as He chooses us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. God picked you first. You're like the worst. You're the worst. Anybody remember when we played dodgeballs with the rubber balls? Do I have any rubber dodgeball players in here? The ones where when you hit somebody in the face, they made that thwing noise, you know what I mean? Like you knew somebody got drilled when you, thwing, pow. You could be the worst player in the game. You ever meet people and you're like, you're going to get picked last. Like that really frail dude with like the pencil arms. You pretty much hide behind him if you've got a ball, because you're like, he's going to get picked off pretty early in the game. That's the guy God picked first and said, you're judging him off his junior high version, but I see what he's going to be in high school. I see what he's going to be in college. See, God picked you when you couldn't see your future while you were still drinking the poison. God picked you. And he said this. He said, I picked you because I believe that you can be holy and blameless through Christ. And then I'm going to put such an expectation on your life that you'll grow into it. You won't always get it right, but you'll grow into my expectation of you. Do you remember when you had little kids and you tried to teach them to talk? And then they learned. And when they became teenagers, you thought, that was the dumbest thing I ever taught them to do. You raise your kids to be independent, and then they get into their 20s and they begin to walk in that independence, and then you're worried about what they're doing when they're walking in independence. God said this. God said, I trust you enough to even love you through the wrong. When you're acting like something that you're not really. He said, because this, he said, because you're holy and blameless before me, not by what you do. And that's how we want to make it. We want to make it by what we do, right? And Jesus said, it's not by what you do, it's what I do for you. Matter of fact, First John chapter 4, verse 4 says this. Little children, you're from God. I love the fact that he calls us little children. At first, that was offensive. Because I got saved at 17, I'm like, I ain't no little kid. I'm a grown man. At 17, you're not a grown man. Let me just throw that out there. Forenote. Then I had a kid, and my kid got older. Became 6'4", 2-something, can pick me up, throw me out of windows, do whatever he wants to, right? Because he's got size, mass, height, etc. on me. And I figured this out, but when I look at that grown man, I still see my little boy. God said this. He said, you may be grown, but you'll always be my child. So he says this. He said, little children, you are from God. You are from God. Do you get up every morning and look in the mirror and go, I'm from God. God loves me. His mercies are rich. They're like chocolate. Man, I can't take them all in one day. His grace, his all these things. Man, it's like chocolate. I can't take it in. I'm God's little children. And then he said this. You're from God, and you've overcome them. Who's them? People not of God. Things that are not of God. He said, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's an expectation of the way you're going to live. Hey, you're going to get tempted. You'll be fine. Remember when you sent your kids to school? You said, hey, be sure you hang around the right kids. Tell yourself that every morning. Hang out with the right people. You ever have your kid come home and they bring some failing grade and you know they were smarter than that? And you looked at them and go, well, did you study? At first they lie to you, because that's what we do as people, right? Yeah, I studied. No, with a book. Well, not really. God said this, sometimes you failed the test because you forgot to study. It doesn't make you a bad student. It just means you forgot to study. Plug for devotional groups. It's not who you are. You're not stupid. You just didn't study. You're not a sinner. You just forgot to study. You didn't know the test was coming. It was a pop quiz, and you failed. But why are you judging yourself on the failure rather than the process? You're still a child of God. You just acted like you weren't. Is this helping anybody? He goes on, he says this, for greater is he in you than he that's in the world. Look, you got this. You don't have this because you've got this. You've got this because he's got this. And if you're his, like, now, in my house, if there's an intruder, we don't send my wife. Especially when my son was little, we didn't send him. You don't like send your kid, hey, buddy, get out of bed. I think there's a robber. Will you go check and see? Because we can replace you. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think God's going to let you down? Is he going to send you to the door to answer the terror that you're really afraid of? Now, see, at my house, I won't tell you everything that happens, but let's just say I've got ways of persuading people that they don't want to break into my home. I can make my point. And I tell my family, everybody stay in bed. I got this one. Why do you act like God doesn't love you enough to do the same thing? But you know what? There was a time when my son grew up and I looked at him and said, hey man, go out, look at that, see what that is. Not because I didn't love him, but because I knew he could handle it. Why do we act like every challenge that comes our way is poison? And that the only choice we have is to drink it rather than believing that God trusts us enough to overcome it through his power and through what he's taught us how to do. Does this make sense? I'm going to end with this. Well, no, I'm not. Let me go to Colossians 3, 9 through 10. I got two scriptures left. I promise I'm about done. It says, do not lie to one another. We lie to each other all the time. Do not lie to each other, seeing that you put off the old self with its practices. You, when you accepted Christ, you became a dead man walking. The old dude was dead. Now the new guy's walking around. Why are you going around lying to people, acting like you're still the guy you killed? Why are you going around trying to convince the people in your life that you're still what God redeemed you from? You're lying to them. God said this. He said, put that stuff off and get on with the new you. There was a time when I cared about what people thought. I cared about when I went in the pulpit. How's everybody going this? And then I got to a point where I'm like, really don't care. We started with four people. Anything I do beyond that is a success. So if somebody doesn't like what I say, I just go, I hate you leaving, but bye. And I don't preach to get people to come into the door, but if they come, I just wave it the same way. Hey, how you doing? Right? Because my job is not to please you. It's to please God. And I can't lie to people and act any different. You have to be the you version that God created you to be all the time. Now I'm going to leave you because this is the setup for next week. Say this, don't lie to each other. Seeing that you've put off the old you with its practices. See, you know, to be a sin, you got to a real sinner, you got to practice it. Especially for a Christian to walk in sin, they got to practice because it's not native to them. Matter of fact, you pretty much have to choke the Holy Spirit out at times in order for you to practice the sin that you weren't created to practice. And it put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Why? You got to play the new script. And you have to get up every morning and play it out loud to the mirror. Because you'll forget if you don't talk to yourself. I was working on the computer the other day and my wife walked in and goes, who are you talking to? I said, me? Because if I don't tell me, I'll forget. And in that moment, God spoke to me and said, so will they. If they don't get up every morning and remind themselves that I created them to be free from sin, free from the poison, and they're supposed to be the catalyst, I promise you, they will forget. For everybody who's struggling with whether or not you're good enough, if you'll get up and tell yourself that you're good enough, you're pretty enough, you're smart enough, you're talented enough, and that God can work through you, and then go after it and live like it and stop acting like what you're acting like, it's not really who you are. I don't believe it. You're better than that. I used to look at my son when he would screw up. I can say this because I don't think he's in here right now. He's probably doing our online campus. I used to look at him and go, boy, stop it. You're better than that. Quit it. You're better than talking like that. You're better than reacting like that. Come on. You're better than that. Sometimes God would let me hear my own echo of my voice and go, son, you're better than that. I was on the interstate. I'm working on my driving. Because I feel like one of my spiritual gifts is helping people figure out their failures on the interstate. It's a gift. Can I read you a scripture first before I finish the story? Because this is kind of my lead into next week. It says this, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. At one time you were darkness. Not in darkness, I think that's a bad translation. One time you were darkness. Before Jesus, you were the epitome of darkness. You're running around sinning, doing whatever you wanted to. He said, but right now, you need to look at your neighbor and go, but right now, but right now, you're in the light in the Lord. Now watch this. Walk as children of the light. Go walk because it's what you are. He said, for the fruit of lights is found in all that is good and right and true. I love verse 10. It says, now try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Notice that didn't say, go get it all right. He said, now you're children of light, you're children of Jesus, right? Now go act like it and try to discern, try to figure out what's right and wrong. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. Notice that he didn't tie the get it right or get it wrong to whether or not you were children of light. So I was on the interstate yesterday. We're coming home from a friend of mine's house. I was driving on the interstate, and we were doing more than the speed limit. And I was trying to hurry and get through Charlotte, North Carolina, and I got behind this white van, and he'd hold up traffic. When you try to pass him, he'd speed up so that other traffic stopped you. And I did this for miles and miles and miles. And so finally, we come to this big, like, six lanes worth of road, and I'm like, okay. I waited for a few minutes behind him. I'm like, okay, he's not going to get over. So I got over, and as I accelerated, he pulled into my lane. So I'm like, oh. So I pulled back into the other lane, and then he went right between them, kind of weaving to keep me from getting over. So I did what any spiritual man of God would do. I laid on the horn. And not just until he got in one lane. All the way till I got by him. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm helping him out. I could have called him an uncircumcised Philistine. I could have asked the Lord to rain down fire and take him off. Right, I said, a horn is here. Did I not say this? I said, if you read your driver's manual, it says that a horn is there to warn people of imminent danger or issues on the road. That, honey, is an issue on the road. I'm just helping him out. My son's in the back seat, and if you know Brandon's sense of humor, he goes, yeah, Dad, well, you helped him out so much, he gave you the finger to tell you that you were right. It wasn't the first finger. Without missing a beat, my wife looked at me and goes, yeah, but was that the you, the God version of you? And I did what any man of God would do in that moment. I listened for the Holy Spirit for a second, and then I lied to her. Because oftentimes my wife's voice and the Holy Spirit sound a lot alike. I looked at her and I said, God would be proud of that because I helped him find his ignorance. Brandon's like, well, he made that obvious, he found it. Man, the more we drove down the road, the more the Holy Spirit began to convict me. And he's like, you feel better, but what did you cause him to do? Were you the catalyst for change in his life? And I was like, yeah, God, but it wasn't the catalyst in change that I wanted to be. Bring that last scripture up, just the ending. Because in times, I have to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. If you'd have asked me at the beginning of that exchange, I was fine. I wasn't doing that. I just blew the horn at him. I didn't cuss at him. I didn't flip him off. I didn't run him off the road. All of which things entered my mind, but I didn't act on them. That's holiness, right? But what I did, in retrospect, wasn't the version of me that I want, and more importantly, wasn't the version that God had expected of me. I didn't live to my expectation. Doesn't mean that I failed. I mean, I'm still okay to preach this morning. It's not like I'm tainted, you know, or that I'm vile and I've got to rip into sackcloth and ashes and right. I don't have to go all right. But how many times does the enemy use stuff like that to torment you for days and days and days rather than going, I tried to discern what was right and wrong. I drank a little poison. I did wrong. But I'll know that poison next time it rolls up because I'm still the righteousness of God. I'm still holy. I'm still right. That's not freedom to go sin. It's freedom to identify sin and go, I'm not going to drink that anymore. Now, can I be honest with you? You may have to drink something three or four times to get sick enough that you don't want to drink it anymore. Tell me I'm lying. You ever started doing something and it wasn't a problem, but you knew it was wrong, so you did it a little bit more, and the problem got bigger, and then you did a little bit, and then it bit you in the rear end, and you're like, I'll never do that again. What I'm trying to teach you is how to learn in the beginning and not fall under condemnation, but fall under conviction and go, oop, that's wrong. Don't need to do that. I'm good. Thank you, God. I'm still holy. I'm still right. I'm not damaged. And if you do get too far to go, ooh, I'm still holy, I'm still good, but I need to move and never do that again. Because here's what I believe. I believe that God has given you the ability to be a catalyst for change. And that if you'll get up every morning, you'll look in the mirror and you'll see yourself as the richness, the deliciousness, the flavor of God is all over your life. And God loves you and God wants to do something in you and through you. And if you'll just get up and give yourself the freedom to be right, because that's what you were created to be. You weren't created to be wrong. You weren't created to be a sinner. That's why you're bad at it. Had a kid in one of my youth groups. He stole the church van. I'm not making that up. Got busted by the police. He stole some other stuff. He committed like four felonies. And I looked at him. I said, man, I love you, but you got to stop being a criminal. And he said, man, I just don't know about all that Jesus stuff. I'm like, dude, you're a horrible sinner. You're not good at it. Like, not a little bit. I said, what crime have you ever committed that you got away with? He's like, none. I'm like, you're never going to get away with sin. It's always going to bite you because you weren't created for it. You're not good at it. That's the reason you struggle so much when you've got one foot in sin and you're still trying to be, because it creates this conflict. And I'm saying this, God loves you in the conflict, but he's saying, man, you weren't built for sin. Get your foot out of it. And when you accidentally step in it, recover from it. Go back to, okay, God, I've got to bring that scripture back up and just leave it. It's great. He said, you got to say this, man, you know what? I'm trying to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. And when I miss it, I learn from it. I don't beat myself up. I just learned. Let me ask you, when you burn yourself cooking, do you stop cooking? Mom said, if it was, I would go put my hand on the stove when I got home. And the washing machine and the vacuum cleaner. I'm just letting you, I'm done with all three, right? No, but what we do is go, ooh, ooh. And you get around a mama that's been cooking a little while, and you get ready to touch. She can be looking in the other pantry in the other room and be like, oh, baby, don't touch that. That'll blister your hand like you ain't ever. You know why? Because mama's blistered that hand. She's discerned it enough to know the danger. If you're watching this and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'd love to have a piece that says, you know what, I'm feeling after what's the Lord, but I'm not even right with the Lord. That's the first step in all this. If you haven't accepted Jesus, you are condemned because of your own decision. But when you make a decision to follow Christ, all of that is atoned for, past, present, and future. So if you're here today with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around, some musicians come to help me close. If you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, whether you're online or in-house, if you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. I know that I've walked away from God, or maybe I've never accepted God, but today I need to accept Jesus. I need to be right with God. Will you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. To folks that have raised their hand online and the ones that have raised it here in-house, can I just pray with you? I want everybody to pray, but specifically know that I'm praying for the folks that have raised their hand. Will you just pray this prayer with me out loud all across this room? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, can I say this? If you prayed that prayer, every sin that you've ever committed, past, present, or future, is gone. Doesn't count. Can somebody celebrate that with me? Is that right? Yes. Now, here's the thing. You are no longer what you were. You are not what you were when you walked into this building. You are, Scripture says that you are a new creation and a new creature in Christ, that your old ways are gone. Now, you're gonna out of habit, want to go back to those old ways. It's some of the poisons that we talk about. You can bring that back up. It's some of the poisons that we talk about. But from here on out, it's going to be about discerning what poisons not to pick back up. Do you receive that? Man, don't come to church once. You need to be in a habit of it. Why? Because it helps me discern. It helps me hear the Holy Spirit a little better. It helps me, right? And man, if you can't watch in person, man, we love our online folks, man. We're so glad that they're here. Absolutely. And man, the ones that gave their life in the services that we've had, man, it means as much as the ones that have done it here. You're not what you think you are. You're a child of God. You've been acting like a sinner. Now it's time to be what God created you to be. Happy, joyful, fulfilled. Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. What you were created to be doing. And when you mess up, you'll know it. And when you realize it, turn from it. If you burn your hand on the stove once, it's great. Don't worry about it. Don't do it again. I never will forget, Matt's a contractor here in church, and I borrowed one of his tools, and me and Jesse were outside. We were fixing the front sign of the church. Man, we hadn't been doing this long, and I was holding a piece of wood, and I took that nail gun. It was just a little brag gun, and I shot it. When I shot it, I instantaneously remembered that my finger was on the back side of that nail, and I shot about a quarter of an inch of it into my finger, and I pulled it off, and I dropped the gun, and I turned and walked off. Matt goes, "Oh, no, exactly what you did. You shot that nail into your finger, didn't you?" He said, "Yep." He said, "Hold on, I'll go get some duct tape. We'll tape it up." He said, "Ain't not going to make it feel any better." He said, "But I'll tell you what." He said, "You won't do it but once." See, I think that's what God's really trying to teach us. Don't condemn yourself. Don't stop building the building just because you got hurt, just because you messed up. Tape it up and learn from it. It'll heal. God will take care of it. But don't keep doing it. You received this today. Thank you so much for joining us online campus, man. We love you. We're praying over you. God bless you. We hope to see you next week. To the folks that are here in house, man, I hope that today's message challenged you. I hope that it got you out of some condemnation that you've been walking in and gives you the freedom to be everything that God told you to be. But I have a question, right? This is like the pastor's question. Is that fair? Did this help anybody today? Man, I wrestled with this message so much. Then we came in. I actually wrote it this morning. I'm not even going to lie to you. I wrote next week's message last week. And then the Lord convicted me and said, "Man, I need you to do this other thing." And I was like, "God, I hope this is you." And then I came in, and at 6:30 this morning, the heat was 40 degrees in our church. And we brought people out to fix it. And we're doing all that stuff. And I didn't get to it till late. But I believe this was a word from God. Because I believe God wants you to go be what He created you to be. Everything else, you're just acting. It's not who you really are. God bless you guys. Holly, thank you again for stepping up and leading our worship team. You did a great job. Michael, TJ, Brandon's, I think, in the green room. Macy, guys, thank y'all for what you do. Man, we thank Liz for the way she leads our team. We have the most amazing group of leaders and folks that do stuff. AV folks, thank you so much. I throw so much at those guy and girl. They do such a great job. Parking lot, children, nursery. Man, we've got the best people. Online folks, man, y'all just kill it every week, and you don't get the credit that you deserve. And I just want you to know my heart beats for you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For folks that man, you call this place home, thank you. The one thing 2020 taught me is never take people for granted. I like y'all. I need to see y'all. No, like my soul, like my human inside beating heart part of me, I cannot do life by myself and or in small groups. I have to do like touching as many people as I can. If you are not plugged into a online community group, I'm going to challenge you to do that. If you'll see Pastor Tracy, if you'll see myself, if you'll just reach out to us through email, man, we really want to connect you into that. It will change your world, man. Doing a daily devotional will absolutely rock you up. To my Devo group, I am through my crises of juggling stuff. I will be getting mine back up starting Monday. Man, we're looking forward to it. We just want to see what God can do in and through you. I hope you have an amazing week. God bless you. Let me pray over you before you go. God, we just thank you for every person that's here. God, I ask that you just pour your rich blessings out upon their life. God, may your favor go on them. God, may you bless their children. God, may you let an eternal blessing from generation to generation flow through their life. God, let them be salt and light in the world this week. God, let them impact and be a catalyst for change. Because God, that's what you created them to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we can't wait to see you again next time.